The Shifts in Japanese Materiality exhibition aims to place Japan's interesting object-making culture on full display for us all to see. You may have had a chance to dip into a world of experimental cross-cultural Japanese and Australian design, from ceramics and furniture through to jewellery and lacquerware. And in the studio today, we've got one of the artists from this exhibition, along with curator Bic Tu. We've got Guy Kurlemans to let us all know what we're in store for at this exhibition. Good afternoon, Bic and Guy.
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks Hello. For joining us. Really interesting exhibition. I'm a huge fan of Japanese culture and design and art and architecture and all that sort of stuff. So really interested to see what this exhibition is all about. Can you first off tell us what Japanese materiality is all about and how it's changed over the years by worldwide influences?
I'll start first. So basically, this exhibition started based on my reflection and my practice on using Japanese lacquer. That's what I specialize in, and I spent 2 years in Japan. And so coming up with a curatorial theme, I reflected on this, looking at my practice and looking at the material of Japanese lacquer. And because I come from a jewelry and object, you know, I integrate, metal work and, bringing cross-cultural dialogue into the work that I produce. And so, thinking about the theme for the exhibition shifts, it was, I suppose, the work that I produce is quite contemporary. And so, you know, I don't use, even though I've been formally trained in the traditional manner, I don't use it traditionally.
Ah.
And so, I engaged it in a contemporary context. And so, when I thought about the artist, the seven artists, including myself, I wanted to expand this dialogue on materials and how, the geographical regions and the terrain of artists working with the connection to Japan and Australia, responded to this idea.
Traditionally, what was the materials that Japan would use? I guess a lot of wood, maybe
That's right.
ceramics as well.
Yeah, so you've got like ceramics, you've got textiles, urushi. That's what Japanese lacquer is called in the Japanese language, and metalwork as well. So, I guess some of the artists come from a use it more so in the traditional sense. So there's glass artists by Yusuke Takemura, and Julie Bartholomew uses, porcelain ceramic in her work. And, and I'm coming from a, Japanese urushi lacquer point of view.
Yeah.
And then there's other artists, which I might get, Guy to talk about as well.
One of the interesting things, about this exhibition is we're exploring these materials that are traditionally used in Japan, but also questioning that tradition and questioning the origin of materials. One of the things that I do in my work and that is also seen in some of the other participating artists like Kyoko Hashimoto is the use of plastics. But where do plastics come from? Well, that's a really interesting question because they're often maybe mined in the Middle East, or they're even made from Australian natural gas, and then they're sent to places like Japan, but also China, and converted into, petrochemicals, which then become plastics, and then they're exported all around the world. So dealing with this kind of material, you can't really say it's certainly not traditional, sure. But it also has no kind of origin. Comes with a lot of kind of, environmental baggage as well. And that's one of the things that's expressed by a lot of the artists in the work. There's a lot of repair works. There's a lot of recycling of materials, reuse of materials.
Yep. What makes the items in this exhibition particularly Japanese? Is it because you talk about lacquer, which is a sort of a traditional use of Japanese style, but what about the other exhibitions as well? Like, is there something that sort of makes it Japanese?
Well, I think it's dependent on each individual artist. So, for example, Kyoko Hashimoto is taking old toys that were belonged to her children, and then she's casting them, chopping them up, and casting them in different materials like concrete and resin, and then sanding them back into the shape of Buddhist prayer beads, which are used in Japan. They're called nenju, and this is for her is a kind of process of reflection. The nenju are used in prayers and reflecting on the kind of human weaknesses of the world, and it's kind of a moment for her to sort of think about problems of waste. And in my work too, there's a Japanese influence. I do this craft called kintsugi, which is a traditional form of Japanese ceramic repair. Mm-hmm. But I don't use the traditional material, which is actually urushi, which is the material Bic uses. Instead, I use photoluminescent pigments that glow in the dark.
Oh, wow.
So we have a display box built up where you can look through a peephole and press a button and the light turns off. Mm-hmm. And the cracks of these vases glow in the dark.
Oh, wow, that's really unique. But I like how you've sort of tied in the culture into something modern, and which is what Japanese are very, you know, well known for. And sort of, they whilst they're very traditional, they also embrace modern times and changes. As when you go to Japan, you sort of see that balance between the two. It sounds like this exhibition sort of does that. What are some of the other exhibitionists that are showing there? That what sort of work can we expect?
Well, Lee McGovern is a really talented Australian furniture maker who's based halfway between Sydney and half the time in Japan.
Okay.
He does a lot of work with raw timbers that are kind of cut and then unfinished in some ways. Mm. This is sort of very kind of based on a Japanese aesthetic called wabi-sabi, kind of an aesthetic of the raw.
Is that the raw wood sort of look, but they use their furniture a lot?
Okay. And it's really nice, but also for me, it also kind of relates a lot to, you know, 70s and 80s Australian architecture, like the Sydney School, people like Bruce Rickard and Neville Grusman, who use a lot of unfinished timbers in their houses. So it's got a kind of nice combination of Australian and Japanese influences.
So it sort of looks really old, but it's actually not. It's just
it's very contemporary in form.
Yeah.
Kind of sharp angles and stuff.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Does he sell any of his items, or is that just all for display?
No, I think he sells quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Like here in Australia? He's like showrooms and stuff like that?
Not sure. I think you can buy them direct through him and his website.
I'm going to look that up. It's that's Liam McGovern.
Yep.
McGovern, McGavin. Very cool. Look, it's so intriguing, the sort of different sort of items and your furniture. You've got lacquer, you've got jewelry, you've got, you know, your luminescent vases, which is amazing. It's a real eclectic mix. What do you feel people appreciate when they come to these exhibitions? Do they, you know, they just sort of spend some time? Are you there as well, talking to the people that come through? Is that, I mean, I know it starts this weekend, but is that sort of what happens? Do the artists sort of mingle around with the people and talk as they show their items?
Well, we'll definitely be there for opening night, which is happening this Friday at 6 o'clock. And so most of us will be there. Most of the artists will be there.
Cool.
So, you know, we'll be able to engage with those kinds of questions and obviously give an opening and talk about the works.
And then we've got a panel discussion coming up as well, which is on the...
Is it on the website?
That's March 8th.
Yes, sorry, the dates.
On the 8th of March, we're doing a panel discussion.
There we go.
People can come and talk to us and ask questions.
Two of you will be on there, as well as Yusuke Takamura and Julie Bartholomew.
That's okay. Right, yeah.
And that's 6:30 till 8 o'clock. I just found it on the website. That was amazing.
Yeah, and if other people are interested in jewelry demonstrations or learning how to do lacquerware, Vic is doing a lacquerware workshop on March 3rd, which is Saturday, and on February 3rd, there's a jewelry making demo, which is this Saturday.
This Saturday, yeah.
All right.
So come along; it'd be fantastic. And that's work by Rui Kikuchi, who's actually flying here. Landing
from Kyoto, it says.
Yes,
so
yes,
she says, yep. She combines refuse like PET bottles and nails with precious metals to make this really amazing jewelry. Some a photo on the website here. I'm looking at jpf.org.au, and there's a Japanese there's a page on there. But look, really amazing colors as well. Is that something? I mean, I sort of associate, look at that and think that looks quite Japanese, you know, style to me. The use of color that's a very predominant thing, I feel like, in Japanese culture. Is that right?
I think, yeah, definitely colour, but particularly with Rui's work, and I think, Guy would understand this quite well. She's, you know, her work talks a lot about sustainability.
Okay.
In Japan, I don't know if you've ever been to Japan, but they use a lot of plastic bottles. So, if you know, you go to the supermarket, you know, everyone, and so I guess with Rui's work, she... that series of colours that you're referring to is, PET PET series. And so she's, transformed them, and she talks, and she turns them into contemporary jewellery objects, but they almost kind of, look like they've been, relationship to, discarded plastics. And so you, it's, you know, it's so simple, so beautiful, but yet, you know, you can kind of see the message that's coming through from the work.
Oh, yeah, I love it. You do mention that. It's a weird quandary that I've been to Japan a few times, and they put everything into plastic. There's a lot of, you'd think, waste, but then they're so careful about recycling that I guess what they do is, they use a lot of plastic bottles and a lot of things, but then it's recycled so well that obviously it's hopefully doesn't affect the environment too much. But it always blew me away as to how much packaging they put everything in when you go to Japan.
Yeah.
You know, this bag and then this bag and this bag. And I was like, no. And they're like, yes. So it's like, okay.
it's a bit troubling, really.
It is.
A lot of packaging. And Japan actually does have a big waste problem. They're not quite as good as some other countries, say Sweden.
Oh, okay.
But I think also there's a generational shift happening. There's this younger generation of Japanese coming up. They call them the Satori no Sedai, which roughly translates as the enlightened generation. And they're really different. They're not into conspicuous consumption. They're not into brand culture. They're not into high consumption. They're moving out of the cities back into the country to start agribusinesses.
Oh, wow.
It's a really different kind of Japanese generation.
Nice.
And I think you can see somewhat of that kind of theme coming up in this exhibition too.
Interested to ask you, Guy, what drew you into sort of looking at Japanese culture and designing something sort of around that theme? Because you're not being Japanese yourself, I presume.
No, well, my wife is.
Okay.
But I was actually interested in Japanese culture before that because my grandfather was an architect who was strongly influenced by Japanese design.
Right.
But now being married to Kyoko Hashimoto, who's one of the other artists.
Yeah.
And her parents... are ceramicists. They're based up in New England in Armidale.
Okay.
But they have their traditional Japanese ceramicists, so they're also kind of quite a strong influence on my work.
Great. And what about you, Bic? What sort of got you interested in that sort of style of...
Years ago, my mentor showed me a book on East Asian lacquer, and so I was flipping through the pages and I saw some traditional Japanese lacquerware, and I was just like, wow, like, you know, by the surface. And I started questioning and... you know, nobody knew what the techniques were in Australia. Nobody knew what the material was. And that kind of has led me to this, you know, 15-year questioning. And I'm still learning, you know, it's a time-consuming, laborious technique. But it's beautiful because of its luster. And, you know, I guess that's the poetic and the magic about the material.
That's fantastic. Well, the opening reception is this Friday at the gallery. Can you tell everyone where the Japan Foundation Gallery is?
What's
the name of the building again over the road? Central Park?
It's in Central Park, and if you enter through the main street.
On the fourth floor.
Yeah, on the fourth floor. Yeah. So,
the big building covered with greenery on Broadway.
I just realised I'm going to a movie at Central Park on Friday night. I'm going to come by and see you all there and catch the opening. My wife loves Japanese jewellery especially, and so she will come down. I'm sure she'd love to see it. So, yeah, that's fantastic. It starts this Friday. It goes for about a month until March the... I had it up in the window here, but I've just lost it.
17th.
Yes,
yeah.
February 2nd to March 17th. And as we mentioned before, there's the opening on Friday. There's a talk and demonstration on Saturday, 1 till 2.30. There's also an eggshell and lacquerware workshop on Saturday, 10.30 till 1. Saturday, March the 3rd, 10.30 till 1. And then a panel discussion, March the 8th. Thursday, March the 8th, 6.30 till 8. Sounds fantastic. Good luck with the exhibition. Really great to meet both of you. Hope it all goes well. Maybe I'll catch you on Friday.
Cool.
See you then. Cheers. Okay. Thank you.